Christ ascending on high gave gifts to men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, everything that we have received is a gift from God. We talked about life today. Our life itself, that's a gift from God. And to live with God forever in heaven, sanctifying grace, that's a gift from God too. The saints who are already in heaven, but still help us here on earth, we pray to them and they hear us and they give us the things that we need. Those saints are gifts of God as well. I want to tell you about some of these gifts from God, the saints, who kind of match the sacraments we've been talking about so far on our Day of Recollection. And they are saints whom we honor today. So that's a gift from God too. For example, the first sacrament, which you know, is the sacrament of baptism. And here is a picture of one of our saints today, and his name is Saint Pancras or Pancratius. That's a curious name, but that was his name, and he died when he was 14 years old, and he's a special saint of keeping your baptismal vows and promises. We'll see what that means. Saint Pancratius was like some children today, that is to say that he was perhaps a refugee from the country of Syria when he was a boy. His parents died, and he was an orphan. Only he had the grace to be adopted by some Christians who took him to Rome, and there he was baptized. When he was baptized, he made the vows and the promises which you children make through your godparents. What does that mean? Well, that means this. Before you're baptized, the priest says to you, but if you're a baby, you can't answer for yourself. Instead, that comes through your godparents, dost thou renounce Satan? And then you say, I do renounce Satan. And all of his works, I do renounce them. And all of his pomps. His pomps means all of the strategies, what he does to impress people and get them to commit sins. I do renounce them, you say. And then do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? Do you want to be baptized? All of those things you say yes to. Those are your baptismal vows and promises. He is the patron saint, Saint Pancras is, of keeping our promises. He died for his faith when he was only 14 years old. And he's buried in a tomb outside the city of Rome. And in the old days, if people had to take an oath is a solemn promise to tell the truth before God, they would go to his tomb and they would put their hand on his tomb and they would say, I swear to tell the truth, as people do in a court of law today, children, for putting their hands on a Bible during a trial, that they call on God to witness the truth of what they're going to say. So he's a good saint for us to remind ourselves that, well, first of all, I'm a baptized child of God. I have to keep my vows and my promises. But what if I forget what I'm supposed to be doing and I commit a sin instead? Then, of course, I have to go to confession. Today we have a confession saint, and his name is Blessed Francis Patrizzi. And he was, for a long time, he was specialized for hearing confessions. In the old days, children, there used to be several confessionals. Confessional is the booth in the back of church where you just went to confession. There used to be several confessionals in just one church. And the churches were very big. And sometimes thousands of people came to church. And so there would be more than one priest. There would be two or three or even four priests hearing confession at the same time. And their name would be outside the confessional. And you could choose which priest you went to. Except on Good Friday we do that. But usually we just have one confessional and one priest. hearing the confessions. So whichever priest it is, if you want to go to confession, you have to go to that priest. But during the time of Blessed Francis Patrizi, there were many priests in confessionals. Well, some of the other priests in the church weren't very happy because everyone started going to this priest, Blessed Francis, because he was so holy. He was a servite father, that means a servant of Mary and her seven sorrows. And he just had a wonderful way of hearing confessions and helping people. Well, some of the priests, they shouldn't have because they were priests, but there you have it, they got jealous. And then they started making comments and saying things about Blessed Francis. So, what did this priest do? He went to the Blessed Mother. That's what you're supposed to do when you have a problem. And he talked it over with Mary. Only because he was so holy, Our Lady appeared to him, and she talked to him, and he could hear her talk, he could see her. And Our Lady said this to him, it was most extraordinary, but you never know with a saint. Our Lady said to him, "My son, you've served me for these years now by your use of the sense of hearing confessions. Now you will serve me by speech, by talking instead." And with that, he was struck deaf. He couldn't hear a single thing. So people who have trouble hearing could pray to this saint, Blessed Francis Patrizi. And instead, he was given the grace of preaching wonderful sermons without even having to get them ready or prepare them. Usually a priest would have a hard time pulling that off, but our saint did. He could just get right up in the pulpit and give wonderful sermons. And he would instruct people and help them to be holy. And if two people were fighting, he would make peace between them during his sermon. This business about not being able to hear didn't last too long, but it lasted long enough that he became known as a great preacher. And he was sent off to preach on Ascension Thursday, and he knew he was going to die that day, because saints usually know. But still, he obeyed. He didn't say, "But Father, I'm going to die today. Can't I just stay home in my room or stay in church and say my prayers instead?" No. He was obedient, children. Fourth commandment. And so he got ready to go, and he was walking to the church, and he died. But that was all right, because he was a saint, and he was ready to die and go to heaven. But the main thing is that he obeyed. So he's an unusual saint, especially for confession. But the main saint I want to tell you about has her feast day today or tomorrow, and she's known as Blessed Imelda, and she's the patron saint of first communicants. Some of you, most of you, are first communicants. You're getting ready at the end of May to make your first Holy Communion. She was born around the same time that Saint Blessed Francis Patrizi died, there in the 14th century. And she was born to a noble family in an Italian city called Bologna. And I think she was an only child, and her parents were older, and they loved her very much. And they gave her lots of presents and gifts. And on her fifth birthday, did you ever see that? I'm always surprised when I see that, but some children get a huge amount of presents on their birthday. We used to, you only get maybe one or two, and then one or two presents for Christmas. But some children get just a room full of presents. Well, that's what she did. She got a room full of presents, and she was 5 years old. And then she said, "Oh, but I want one more present, Daddy," she told her father. And her father, who was a count and very noble, was cross with his daughter. And he said, "What, isn't this enough? Look at all the presents I've given you. You want one more?" And she climbed up on his lap, and she whispered in her daddy's ear, and she said, "But I want to go to Holy Communion." She was only five, so she wasn't allowed to. And you see, back then, children, you couldn't go until you were 12 years old at least, and sometimes you had to wait till you were 14. So that would be a long time to wait. So her father had to tell you, "But darling, you're too little. You can't go yet." Well, She made a little altar in her room, a shrine, and she would say many prayers there every day in her room. And then they were wealthy people, and they had servants to wait on them, but she asked her mommy to teach her how to cook and how to sew so she could cook and sew for poor people. And she would go to visit poor children, and she would give them all of her toys, including her favorite dolls. She would give them away to the poor children, especially to poor children who were sick. She loved to do that. And sometimes, because they were very poor and couldn't come to church, they didn't know their catechism. And she would teach them herself, even though she was very little, 5 or 6 years old, and she would tell them the stories about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph that she had heard from her priest and her parents. Well, next door to her house, which was a big sort of a palace, because she was a princess almost, next door to her house was a Dominican church. And she would go to the Dominican church sometimes for Mass or in the evening for the office of Compline. And when she was a little bit older, about 9 years old, she asked her parents if she could become a nun. Well, that's too young to become a nun when you're 9 years old. But back then it was a custom for girls sometimes to live in a convent for a few years and to wear the habit of a nun. But they couldn't make their vows or anything, and eventually they would leave. But she wanted to go, and so her parents said that, yes, she could go. So she went to the convent. She was very tall for her age, so she looked a little bit older than she was, maybe. And she kept the rule perfectly, and she was very kind to everyone, and did what she was told. She wasn't allowed to get up to say the prayers at midnight because she was so little, but sometimes she would say, oh, I wish I could go to communion. And then she would say, how could you receive Holy Communion and not die of happiness? Well, she was still too young, she was told, to make her first communion. But she spent a long time in the church visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, just looking at the tabernacle and talking to our Lord because she knew he was really there. Well, the feast day came. We're having that same Mass today of Ascension Thursday. It was the Feast of the Ascension. And everybody in the convent had gone to confession, and they were all going to go to Holy Communion that day. Only she was the only one who wasn't allowed to go on account of her being too little. Now she was 11 years old, but she still said a prayer before Mass, the prayer she said every day, dear Lord, let me make my first Holy Communion today. She didn't know how she could, but she did. Well, time came for communion. All the sisters went. She had to stay in her place. She hadn't made her communion yet. She was still too young. And then the sisters made their Thanksgiving, and everybody went to breakfast. But she was allowed to stay after some days and say extra prayers. As she was saying these extra prayers, and the sisters were going about their business, some were cooking breakfast and some were sweeping the floor, there was one sister working in the garden, then everybody could smell this wonderful fragrance, a beautiful smell that filled the convent and even outside into the garden. So all of the sisters, they said to each other, but sister, what's that smell that we smell? And they followed it to the chapel. And then they saw something extraordinary. Blessed Imelda was kneeling down, praying. And in front of her was a ray of light from heaven, like that. And in the middle of the ray of light was one host, the sacred host, right in front of this girl. Well, the sisters realized our Lord wanted to come to her. So they sent for the priest, who was having his breakfast, and he had to come and he put his stole on, and he brought the paten. The paten is the little plate that Jesus rests on during the Mass, children, the little golden plate. And he genuflected, and he took the sacred host very reverently from the sunbeam, and he put it on the paten, and he came to Blessed Imelda. And she knew what to do. She closed her eyes, opened her mouth, put her tongue out, And Father blessed her with the sacred host as the priest does at communion and puts the sacred host on her tongue, and she makes her first communion. It was an almost miraculous first communion, because how did the host get there except by a miracle? Well, when that was over, the sisters left so that Blessed Imelda could pray in peace and make a beautiful thanksgiving to our Lord. Well, time went on, and it got to be 9 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock, and one of the sisters said, "Where's little Imelda? She never had her breakfast. We better have her come and have something to eat." And so they went to get Imelda, but she wasn't there. She had already gone to heaven, children. She died of happiness and of joy, making her first Holy Communion. So she is the patroness of Holy Communion and first Holy Communicants. Children, look forward to your first communion day. If you've already made it, thank God at every communion that you can receive him. Before your communion, on the day that you can go, long to receive him. Be hungry for Jesus. Never be disrespectful in church. Never look around or talk or distract others. Always come up very slowly and reverently. Always go back to your place slowly and reverently. Always make your thanksgiving. How do you make your thanksgiving? Remember, children, no matter how old you are, when you go back to your place having swallowed the sacred host, then you close your eyes, bend your head, and you put your two hands over your eyes like that, because these are the shutters of your soul, children. You close the doors because Jesus is on the inside now. And you talk to him. That's your thanksgiving. You tell him that you love him. You thank him for coming to you. You ask him to bless you and your mother and your father and the priests and everybody you're praying for. And you tell him that you love his blessed mother very much. And then you listen. And Jesus will say something to you, probably, if you listen carefully. I know that he will. That's how you make a good communion. Your first communion, your communion every time you go, until your last communion. Who could receive communion and not die of joy? Well, she had a special grace, Blessed Imelda did, but all of us, when we go to communion, we should be so full of joy. Let's ask her and St. Pancratius, the saint of baptism promises. And, oh, I forgot, there's a couple of soldiers. I was going to mention them in passing. We honor them today, too, Saints Nereus and Achilleus. They were soldiers, and they're confirmation saints. You know, these two martyrs, children, they were soldiers who used to put Christians to death very cruelly. But one time, the Holy Ghost came to them in a special way. His light came into their souls, and they dropped their weapons, and they went to see a priest about getting baptized. And then they were faithful unto death, and they were put to death. So there's some good confirmation saints. So many saints we have today, children. So many gifts from the good God, so we can receive his sacraments worthily. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.